Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Recorder on the Wall, Episode 3. My name's Jeremy.
I'm Pete.
And today we are going to be covering the third and final part slash book of the first Redwall book, Redwall, and it's titled The Warrior.
And, yeah, it's just the two of us for the moment. We may get to it later on, but Matthias had to cancel, so we'll catch him another time. So, yeah, this is definitely the shortest version, shortest of the three books.
Yep.
By far. And it shows, because the storylines just kind of wrap up pretty quickly here.
A lot happens in it, though.
Yeah. When we last left off, Matthias said, well, he was technically in the mouth of a large cat. Well, I guess we're going to need a new hero. No, of course he doesn't die. Cat spits him out, saying he can't stand the taste of mice, and then says, "The Matthias has the great idea of playing dead. Apparently he's become an opossum."
Which, I would also like to point out, why would playing dead prevent him from wanting to still eat him?
Yeah, if anything, free meal.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this one won't run away.
Okay, sorry, channel my little Hannibal Lecter there. Yeah. No, he's not gonna eat him. We get introduced to the cat who calls himself Squire Gingivere. And he's like, yeah, I can't stand the taste of mice.
And he is one aristocrat.
It wasn't for the Disney's movie, I'd hurt you.
Yes, that's what inspired that pun. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
I like him. I like... Is it Gingivere or Gingivere?
I always read it Gingivere. How's it spelled?
G-I-N... Oh, where's my book? Hang on. I think I got it right when I typed it. Do things while I'm looking at this.
Honestly, no, I think you have it right in the notes here, but honestly, this could literally go either way. And since neither of us have the audiobook on hand to get Jake's official pronunciation, toss up.
Yeah.
Goes to the whole, what was the vermin we disagreed on pronunciation?
I think it's up to interpretation. So I'm just going to go with Gingivere, how I've always pronounced it in my head.
Okay. So yeah, he's like, oh, okay, sorry about that.
Julian is his first name, so we can just call him that.
Fair enough. Julian.
There we go.
He's like, oops, sorry about that. I totally didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Matthias probably needs a shower. And a lot of therapy.
Talk about avoiding the jaws of death. Or would they be the jaws of life since he didn't eat him?
Question for the philosophers. So, yeah. He gets out. He's like, oh, you want to see Captain Snow? I know where he is, but he's a jerk. You don't want to see him.
Yep. Have fun being lunch.
Have fun in the storm. Storm in the castle, kid.
Think he'll make it? It'd take a miracle.
I got to see that movie recently in an outdoor showing. It was awesome.
Oh, nice. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yes, folks, we're talking about...
The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. So, now, for copyright reasons, we will never play the audio from it. But, hey, we can't. This movie, we can't reference it. So, Matthias goes in.
We get introduced to Captain Snow.
By introduced, he pretty much slams right into Matthias.
Right? This one tries to eat him.
But he sees the metal and he's like, aww.
Yeah, and he's like, why don't you come into my lair? And Matthias is just like, that seems a little deathy. He's like, oh, can't really blame you.
But Matthias gets him to tell him where the snake is, and gets And what's his name? Captain Snow is so amused by the idea of Matthias going to fight the snake, he's like, "Oh, you're not gonna make it bet back." So they make a bet on it. And Snow agrees never to eat a mouse or shrew again
Yep.
if Matthias can make it back.
And I like how he said, like, I'd ask you to give my, I guess you can't give my regards to Basil because you'll be in the snake's stomach.
Yeah.
Yep. I like how birds in this franchise kind of vary on allegiances.
I'd say chaotic neutral.
Yeah. Like, you have some that are straight up evil, you have some that are right in the middle, like Captain Snow. You have some that are good, like, God, I can't remember his name, but the Sunflash's bird companion in
Or the
Outcast.
big hawk from Metameo.
Yep. And I like the fact that Snow isn't, he's not a villain, so he's not really evil, it's just he's following the owl's basic nature, which is to eat mice and other small creatures. That just happens to put him at odds with our heroes, who are mice and woodland creatures.
And I mean, you can't blame him for it, but you can also see why the shrews are pretty afraid of him.
I'd probably be afraid of him too.
Yep.
So, back at the ranch, what's going on?
At the plot, no.
Yeah. Clooney's forces get dispatched by soup. Awesome.
Well, to be accurate, is this the tunnel dig, right?
No. This is when Cornflower throws the soup into the rat's face, and then they set the siege tower on fire.
Yep. Now, admittedly, the animated series, which we will get to in due time, Sage's better where she just breaks a lantern on it.
Well, they do that afterwards. She throws the soup, and then the guy, I think it was Brother Alpha, it was whoever she was giving the soup to, then they throw the lantern onto it, and then
Point is that there's a very nice.
Clooney, obviously thinking clearly, starts yelling at his burning troops, telling them to get back on the blaze and get into the friggin' red wall.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm quite on fire.
I can just think of Clooney's thought process as he's walking away from this, like, well, I just lost a bunch of troops. They think I'm nuts. That plan failed. At least I can get back to my tent. Oh, God,
Yeah.
why? Because as he gets back to his tent, he finds a giant arrow in it.
Yes, let's talk about that. Now, he's not the first Horde leader to realize that, maybe having a body double or someone take my place temporarily is a good idea. We'll see this with later ones. But he's impressed with what Chief Steve can do, even though the battering ram ends up being a fluke.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, and they dump bees on it.
Bees, my god. And I want. Yes, folks, I made a very obscure reference to Linkara. Now, I'm sure you were all expecting the Nicolas Cage, not the bees, but shame on you. We strive for a higher standard of references on this show.
They better wasp out.
And then he makes puns like that.
Hey, I'm no yellow jacket. And I don't just bumblebee around. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, you better be. So Clooney's had two of his major strategies be defeated fairly easily, and he's just. And then finally, he sees his lieutenant, who he's given, basically second in command, or as Chief Thief assumed he's second in command.
And he finds him dead.
Well, Chief Thief got the bright idea to dress in Clooney's armor.
And Constance and the Beaver decided, hey, look, there's Clooney. Let's shoot a giant arrow at him.
Headshot. Well, no, more accurately, it's a body shot. But. Yeah, this is the only time we ever see a beaver in the series, to my recognition.
Yeah, I can't think of, and
Bye.
he's not even named either.
No, he's just the solitary beaver. Bye. I look forward to never seeing your species again.
Thanks for trying to kill Clooney.
So yeah, the Redwallers decide, okay, we're just gonna snipe him with a long distance arrow. And don't get me wrong, there's precedent in medieval battles for this. There's a weapon called a scorpion that can shoot bolts a lot farther than any human can. But they don't try this again, and you brought that up in your notes.
Yeah, it does work. They just kill the wrong rat. So it's like, why don't you try this a second time? And
Well, you'd have to presume Clooney would have contingency plans after this if he was in the right state of mind, or at least a smart leader would say, maybe we should move out of range, or at least out of direct line of sight.
either that, or maybe they couldn't find another thing to turn into a giant arrow.
That's also true.
But still, I don't know. It feels like in Star Trek where they have those episodes where they come up with big giant piece of technology or they find out this new discovery and then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah. I was just thinking of a Galaxy Quest version of this series. We are Klaatu from the Fairview Nebula. You must help us. What?
That reminds me of one of my friends just got Zelda Breath of the Wild, and the way he described running into one of the first giant monsters was, "I found Grignac."
That's pretty accurate.
Yep.
So moving along. So not only is Clooney, two of Major Clooney's plans fail, the third one fails in pretty catastrophic action too.
Spectacular fashion of, all right, dig in the tunnel, dig in the tunnel. We're gonna get there, we're gonna get there. Oh
The Redwaters pour hot boiling
why? Water.
water.
Just water. Yep, it's just
Yeah.
boiling water, and they all get either scalded to death or buried alive.
We're trampled as they try to get the heck out.
Yeah, so,
So this is a bad day for Clooney at the office.
oh yeah. He's like just walking away. He's probably just watching it and then walks away while like the sad Charlie Brown music plays. Womp womp womp
Well, yeah. But accurate.
womp. But then Clooney remembers that a couple of his soldiers found some dormice, and he goes, "All right, when in doubt, build a bonfire and scare the hell out of people." This part is really creepy, where he flat out just says, "I'm going to eat you if you don't do what I say."
And here's the thing about real life rats, people. They are carnivorous when they need to be. So I don't think that would Jace would have actually gone this far in the series in general, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yep. The fact that they mentioned that they're quite plump looking is like, oh, that's chilling.
Yeah.
So then we get to Matthias and the shrews getting to Asmodeus's lair, his underground lair, if you will. And
That's a reference I haven't heard in a long time. And we're getting real deep about that.
So they get there and Gossum falls in. So like this part just kind of confuses me a little bit when you really think about it. So she falls in to the lair and then Logalog and Matthias go in like a couple minutes later. As Matthias is wandering around, he finds her dead body way far away from where Asmodeus is. And then when he finds him, Asmodeus is fast asleep. So in those 5 minutes, he found her, bit her, and then was like, "All right, I'm going back to sleep," and like slithered all the way back through the thing.
I guess he just would eat her later, is
I
the
guess so.
implication.
You know,
Yeah.
he doesn't really have a refrigerator, I guess.
Yeah.
Keep refreshing. But it is a good like, oh shoot moment, and sparks Logalog panicking, and it's like, we need to be very quiet. Oh my God! I found a dead body!
And the snake wakes up. And you can hear Matthias just like kind of face do a face palm.
Yep, just log along.
And the snake's just like, the snake is take exception to the fact that Matthias has gotten the sword back. Yes, we finally have the sword.
Yep. I feel like when he obtained the sword, it should have played like this whispered version of the Master Sword theme from Legend of Zelda.
Possibly.
Yep. And then we get the awesomeness that is Matthias not only evading Asmodeus, but breaking through the hypnosis with the help of Martin Spirit, and literally does, which I don't think this was intentional, but there's an earlier moment where it's like cut off the head of the snake so the body dies, which was Constance's plan. Matthias does just that. He cuts off Asmodeus's head.
Yeah. Although this kind of evokes shades of like the Disney's Jungle Book, not the recent live action movie, which is actually surprisingly better than I thought it would be. But I'm talking the 60s one with Ka.
Oh, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Except Ka was more comedic and not, oh God, scary.
I'm going to inject my venom into you and kill you and eat you.
Okay.
Then, of course, they get back, and Captain Snow is like, oh, gosh, of all the bets I've ever made.
And the shrews start dancing right in front of him.
Yep, and he's like, oh, come on! At this point, they're just kind of being jerks to him.
And he also, as part of the bet, he also agrees to make peace with
Julian.
Julian, so they're buddies again. And I get the sense that these guys were old drinking buddies and wingmen.
Sorry,
Oh,
cat's
come
got my
on.
tongue.
I hate you so much.
I'll bet you do.
Wow, look at that angry mob outside for abusing puns.
Is quite punishing.
Oh, God.
You set that one up for me, dude.
I hate you. I really hate you. Oh.
Fangs a
So
lot.
Matthias finally has the sword, and he's just like, oh, right, red wall. Imminent death. Crap, 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 crap.
Yep. Then we get that
But
moment that you
meanwhile,
were.
back at the actual main plot.
Yeah, well, we also get the moment where you brought up twice so far about how it's only a sword.
Yep.
Remember how during the last episode I was like, you might want to read part three?
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Well, it's not explicit, mind you. But Gingivere and Julian basically
Well, Julian flat out
wonder.
says to him, he's like, it's a magnificent sword, but it's just a sword. And he even mentions that after the thing with Snow, where he's like, maybe the sword is magic. Personally, I like to believe it's the mouse that wields it, or the
Yeah.
warrior that wields it.
You're a wizard, Matthias.
I know that reference.
Yeah.
But I also like how Matthias gets this lesson before the final battle rather than afterwards. Because this way, at the end, it's he knows that it was he that defeated Clooney, not just the magic sword.
Yep.
Though the sword does help.
So Clooney's final plan to get inside the Abbey that actually works.
Yep.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. He basically convinces the father of the family is captured. What's his name?
Plumpin, I think.
Yeah. I want you to go inside the Redwall Abbey and open the doors.
I can see one of the horde members be like, couldn't Shadow have done this back in the This is the first time this plan can work. This is the first
Yeah.
time this plan can work. Good.
So the horde gets sneaks in silently. They manage to tie up Constance while she's still sleeping and then beat her unconscious. Well, they do.
She's asleep and they beat her unconscious.
Hey, it's less likely she's going to wake up,
This
is
is
what I'm
true.
saying. and, you know, kill all of them.
I like how she's the one they also take the most precautions with. Like, everyone else, like, all right, we'll just tie you up a little bit. It's like, no, we must throw a weighted net on her, beat her into unconsciousness, and then randomly beat her over the head again so she doesn't actually break
I
free.
honestly hope she doesn't have brain damage after this.
So she almost breaks free, too, and they're like, oh, shoot! And starts smacking her again.
Yeah, if Clooney was smart, he would have outright killed her. I'm just
Yeah.
saying.
And, but. Then we get to Clooney's proclamations and renaming, such as the Lake of Drowned Mice, and just, I was almost ready for him to talk about eating babies.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I guess he already did threaten to do to the Dormice.
Yeah, but he's riding on a high because he's like, okay, yeah.
I finally won, and nothing can stop me now. Clooney, I've come to stop you. I said nothing can stop me now. I'm totally not turning around and acknowledging that.
And yeah, Matthias is less, he's got the sword, he's got the shield, and he's like, yeah, hey, Clooney,
He's got the
and I'm
tools,
here.
he's got the talent, it's battle time.
So Clooney's just like, and he starts freaking out because he's seeing Martin the Warrior in the flesh.
And then the epic duel begins, and oh god, Matthias just cut Kilconi in half.
Yeah, he did.
That's brutal. I'm pretty sure Constance beats one rat into unconsciousness and starts using him to beat others, which that's actually always funny.
Oh, but before all the battle begins, Clooney does kind of poison Abbot Mortimer after he
Yeah.
stands up to him.
Which I do like how they distract from this tube is the battle starts immediately afterwards and they don't mention it until it doesn't come back until after the battle. So it's like, oh shoot, this is happening now, and then after the battle you're like, oh god, I forgot about that.
So Matthias and Clooney are he's Matthias is kind of ch chasing after him, and Clooney's trying to run away.
And he's like,
And the
time out, time
sparrows
out, time out.
and the shrews come in and start helping to murder
Oh
everyone.
yeah. I love how the sparrows pick up rats and throw them into the center of the lake so they drown.
I really hope they're retrieving those bodies, because if that's the Abbey water source.
It's Drowned Rat Lake.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a big final battle. Clooney and Matthias really they go at it pretty hard.
Yep. Until at the end where they fight in the bell tower and Clooney takes Friar Hugo hostage and Matthias is like, ugh, and tells Clooney to let him go and he'll come down from the bell tower. Clooney's like, all right, and he sends the friar away. So then Matthias is like, all right, I'm coming down, give me one quick sec. He severs the rope of the Joseph Bell and it falls and lands on Clooney. And just to add insult to injury, Matthias reaches the bottom of the steps and goes, I kept my promise. I came back down.
A little bit of an Aladdin moment there.
Yeah. I do like it, though, also. He beats him by using his head. Because we already got to see Matthias use his like physical strength and courage and everything to kill Asmodeus. So we already know he's strong. So this helps us show us like, oh, he also knows how to think.
And it, I mean, it, yeah. Jake's implies here that either Matthias or Clooney could win if they actually had to fight all the way to the end.
Yep.
Clooney tried to cheat, and Matthias cheated right back. So. And yeah, so battle's over. And Matthias wins. Constance beats up a lot of them.
Yep. And
So does it.
everybody's happy, and oh god, the abbot's dying.
Well, don't get me wrong, there's number of other dead Redwaters and the most of the Horde.
Yeah. Well, and the
Oh,
horde that escapes runs into Julian and Snow, who massacre them.
well, I mean, Snow's got dinners for a few a while then.
I can see that be like, is it all right if I eat them? Yeah, go for it. Yay!
So yeah, and Abbott's dying, and Mortimer is dying very slowly from poison. That sucks.
That's shit.
Oh, and he's like, okay, so.
He's like, Matthias, you and Cornflower will be married. Your sword will be
Cornflower's
called
like,
Rat Death,
which is
but
never mentioned again.
we'll never call it that ever again after the end of this book because it sounds stupid. He's like,
I mean,
Matthias.
maybe swords was a thing back in the medieval period, but yeah.
Yeah, the Sword of Martin is good enough. And he's like, Brother Alf, who has had four lines of dialogue, you'll be the next abbot. And Matthias, you won't join us as a brother, but as a warrior. And now I must eventually die away.
You have to wonder if Cornflower's in the back, like, what?
Bleh. She's like, you're
Hold up.
lucky I have the hots for him.
Yeah, I mean, there has been shipping here, Lord knows, in the build up to this, but, yeah, she just totally accepts it.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been better if they would have just resolved the two of them deciding this, but eh.
Yeah. But if we're going off medieval period, arranged marriages were common enough, so
Yeah.
yeah.
And in all honesty, the women in, like, the female characters in this book get a lot more respect than women did in that era, so.
Oh yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jinx took a lot of heat for a long time. With the designated warrior who would wield the sword, it wasn't a girl character for a very long time, till Triss, practically. Yeah, Triss. But that's not to say we don't have some good female characters. Cornflower proves that she's pretty darn capable on her own in this book, and we're going to see a lot more of that in the next one. With the B plot. And by that time we hit what's her name? Mariel? Yeah. Female warriors are going to be pretty standard.
Shoot, and some of the villains are female, such
Oh,
as some.
Arminia in Mondflower. Yeah.
Yep. So, no, I think they get a pretty good representation in this.
Sort of. I mean, we brought this up before. A lot of the vermin hordes seem to be predominantly male.
This
So.
is true.
Which begs a lot of questions that we don't need to go into.
But then at the very end, I don't know about you, but I always really enjoy these epilogues in these books where it's part of like a journal entry or in the prequel stories to the first book where it's like people actually telling the story. I've always liked those, and I thought they kind of gave this series like that's part of what gave it its personality.
Yeah.
I really like those moments. So I like the ending to this where it's from the like journal of I think it's Abbot Alf. Oh no, it's John Church Mouse is writing in this where he brings up Madam Mayo where everyone's like, yeah, Matthias Mortimer Methuselah was way too long of a name.
Given most everyone in this entire series only has one name
Yeah. He's
instead of
special.
a first and last name, yeah. Because I'm sure the son of the Abbey Warrior is not going to have any kind of ego at all, right?
No, I'm sure come his book, which n is named after him, he's going to be perfectly well adjusted and just a normal mouse.
And that's totally the one we're doing next, even if Mossflower was next in publishing.
Well, we'll do Madam Mayo next, and then we'll jump all the way back to the beginning of the timeline.
Yeah, well, that's what you want to do, or do you want to do Moss Flower and then jump?
I think it's best just to jump back to the beginning, build up to Mossflower.
That's fair.
Yeah,
Because.
because L Lord Brocktree does give us some more insight into the Wildcat family as well, and has and also kind of helps. Well, granted, Mossflower isn't right after that one, but it gives us some background information.
Okay. Yay! So we're gonna do Matameo and then, yeah, I guess we'll start on the way back. So when do you wanna, and then we'll figure out when we're gonna do the cartoon eventually.
Yeah.
Right, folks, we'll see you next time.
All right, take care, everyone.